For centuries, America has stood as a shining light for liberty and freedom. If we abandon our core values, the world will suffer for it. The binary choice before us is that stark. Now, here is the critical question. How will Americans, and how will you, decide how to vote for our chief executive officer?
Well, that powerful and provocative question from Dr. James Dobson is from a past newsletter Dr. Dobson wrote several years ago, but I'm sure you'll agree it's even more relevant today on the eve of election 2024 here in the U.S. I'm Roger Marsh. Welcome to this special edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. If you haven't voted yet, make sure you plan on voting tomorrow, November 5th. We have resources available for you to help you make the best biblical decision possible at drjamesdobson.org/countdown-to-decision-2024. We begin today's program with a special word of exhortation from our founder and chairman, Dr. James Dobson. And today's program is intended for adult listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Doctor?
I've heard from dozens of friends and acquaintances in recent weeks who have told me they will base their decisions solely on the candidate's rhetoric, tone, style, or likability. Does that describe your thinking process? Just now, as I was about to react to that idea, my wife Shirley brought in an email that she had received a few minutes before from a friend. It quoted an anonymous statement that gets to the heart of the issue as follows, and I'm quoting, "This is not a junior high or high school popularity contest. I'm not voting for the person. I'm voting for the platform. I'm voting for the Second Amendment. I'm voting for the next Supreme Court justice. I'm voting for the Electoral College. I'm voting for the republic in which we live. I'm voting for the police and law and order. I'm voting for the military and the veterans who fought and died for this country. I'm voting for the flag that is often missing from public events. I'm voting for the right to speak my opinion and not be censored for it. I'm voting for secure borders. I'm voting for the right to praise God without fear. I'm voting for every unborn soul that is at risk of being aborted. I'm voting for freedom and the American dream. I'm voting for good against evil. I'm not just voting for one person. I'm voting for the future of my country." I couldn't have said it better, although I want to add to the writer's list. I'm also voting for candidates who will exercise sound judgment internationally. I'm voting for those who will support Israel. I'm voting for those who will protect children from leftist curricula. I'm voting for the nation's fiscal integrity. I'm voting for parental rights. I'm voting for school choice and for home education. I'm voting for racial unity. I'm voting to support In God We Trust and school prayer. I'm voting for freedom of conscience for physicians and other professionals. I'm voting for marriage. I'm voting for life in all its dimensions. I'm voting against euthanasia and physician-assisted suicide. And yes, I'm voting against socialism. One final thought, and this comes from my heart. With all respect, this election isn't about you. It certainly is not about me. It's about our kids and grandkids. It's about those who are yet to come. If they're allowed to live, this vote has awesome implications for future generations and the nation we love. It is about our Constitution and the immutable God-given rights that it protects. It is about values and truth and greatness and hope. That is why the notion of choosing a president based on frivolous personality characteristics is so unfortunate. Pray like never before that God will spare this great nation from tyranny and oppression of religious liberty. And God bless America.
Well, those are very encouraging and yet sobering words from Dr. James Dobson, the founder and chairman of the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh, and on today's edition of Family Talk, I'm joined in studio by Gary Bauer, the Senior Vice President of Public Policy here at the Dobson Policy Center. And Gary, I can't underscore enough everything that Dr. Dobson said and more about the urgency of what's happening in the election, tomorrow's election day, and so many people haven't voted yet. There's still time to make a positive difference at the polls.
No question about it, Roger. And it's great to be with you on this really important day, this incredibly important time. You know, over the years, elections come and go. People win, lose, and then they say, well, we'll get them the next time. I think everybody realizes at this particular moment in America, this is do or die. This isn't a normal election. This is an election in which there's not one or two. There's a half dozen fundamental questions that are actually on the ballot. Now, you don't see it written out on the ballot. You see some people's names, the candidates' names. But behind those names are, where does our liberty come from? From Caesar, from government, or does it come from God? Is freedom of speech what it says it is in our Constitution? A right that we have to speak what's on our heart, even if people disagree? Do we actually have the freedom of religion? You know, people have taken it for granted, but we've seen government more and more aggressively go after this fundamental right. So on things that matter, racial reconciliation, securing our borders, our freedoms, it all will rise or fall on who will govern us in the weeks, months, and years ahead. And there couldn't be a bigger difference between the two alternatives that are on the ballot this year.
You know, Gary, one thing that boggles my mind is when I see social media posts from Christians, very well-meaning people, who are still sitting here saying, well, I'm not so sure because the personality thing and the rhetoric thing, and it's just so hateful. And there's got to be a better candidate. Can I be the first to say there are no other candidates? I mean, these are the people, the ballots are set. Constitutional amendments are drawn. They're going to vote to codify potentially abortion in the Constitution of Colorado, for example. There are 10 states that are considering doing that. This is a time. Gary, I love the phrase that you have used early on this program about how Election Day has to be Christian Visibility Day. Talk about why it's so important for Christians who are in the shadows to go to the polls.
Yes. You know, Roger, you really zero in on what's closest to my heart, and I know it's close to Dr. Dobson's heart, too. We are not in America as Christians by accident. God was not surprised one morning when he noticed that you, listener, or Roger, or me are in America. God chose to allow us to be in this country for exactly a time like this. The entire American Republic was built on the idea of ordered liberty under God. The Republic itself is on the ballot. We have powerful secular forces loose in our country that want to rip us out of the rich soil of Judeo-Christian civilization. They reject the idea that our liberty comes from God. They want us to kneel to Caesar. They want to educate our children with their philosophy, not our faith-based philosophy. All that's at stake. We can, if Christians are not visible on Election Day, then history will judge. In fact, I believe we will be judged at the throne, that we took this gift called America and we frittered it away. Previous generations died for the rights that we will lose if the country stays on the path it's on right now. America cannot be saved. Its problems cannot be solved. From racial reconciliation to teaching our children about life, marriage, family, unless Christians are out in the public square. If we're not there, our place will be taken by those that will build a country that will be very unpleasant for those of us that are followers of Jesus Christ.
So today, depending on where you are listening to this program, if you're in the Eastern time zone, the polls will be closed by this time tomorrow. So you need to go vote today. If you have not voted yet and you're hearing the reports, many of them bogus or erroneous, suggesting that it's over, this state's already going one way or the other, don't believe it. As Gary Bauer has encouraged and admonished us, go to the polls and pray before you do, and pray while you're there too. And we're praying for a fair and clean election. That election integrity is huge for us as Christians. That's why our presence at the polls matters.
Yes, it does, Roger. And you know, I can't emphasize this enough. When people say, well, maybe the next election I'll have a better choice, ponder this. I really believe this. I'm not an alarmist normally. I'm not sure we'll have another free election after this, because the changes that the left has put forth in their philosophy would mean that I don't believe conservatives and Christians would ever be able to elect another proponent for what we believe in. They want to make, for example, Puerto Rico and the District of Columbia states. They want to nationalize elections. They want to do all sorts of things that would make it very difficult for us ever again to have a champion in office looking out for us. That's not even talking about the hundreds of federal judges the next president will appoint that will affect every aspect of our lives, from the freedom of religion to marriage to the sanctity of life.
If you value American values and principles that are based on biblical convictions, then it's so important for you as a Christian to vote. And we encourage you to get a copy of a voter guide that we have prepared for you at drjamesdobson.org/countdown-to-decision-2024. You could check out the videos that are there. If you're listening to this on Monday, the 4th of November, and tomorrow's the polling day for you, then make sure that you are geared up, that you're prayed up and ready to go to the polls and take action. And now let's get into a special conversation that we had recently with our colleague, the Honorable Michelle Bachman, member of the board here at the JDFI, talking about why it is so important for Christians to cast our vote on Election Day. Let's go ahead and hear that right now on the special edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Well, having run for president myself, it is an extremely difficult process. It's one of the most difficult things anyone will take up in terms of an endeavor. There isn't one area of your life that isn't probed. You are criticized from morning until night. Your families are criticized from morning till night. Usually death threats accompany it. So why would anyone do it? The reason why I did it is because I knew that we needed to have a change in Washington, D.C. I was encouraging other believers to run for office, and I couldn't get rid of this sense that was on my heart that someone needed to challenge the then sitting president, who was Barack Obama. And so my husband and I fasted and prayed for 3 days, and we both felt very confident that I was supposed to do this. Because imagine waking up in the morning, looking in the bathroom mirror, and saying to yourself, I'm running for president of the United States. That is not an easy thing to do. I did it because of what was at stake in the country. And I was very concerned about socialized medicine that Barack Obama was putting in place, together with all the other things, the havoc that he was bringing across the world stage, much like we're seeing now under Joe Biden, the havoc in the Middle East and the wars that were beginning. And I saw that under Barack Obama. And so I knew we needed to have a different worldview, a biblical worldview brought to bear in the White House. And that's why I ran. And that's why this year is so key, because a biblical worldview needs to come to bear in the United States of America. And so we need to pray, we need to fast as we're looking toward the future and where the direction that our nation is going. And we're serious about it. Here at Regent University, we do 40 days of prayer and fasting. It's how we launch the academic year. We don't know what's coming in this world, and so we seek the Lord. If anybody wants to join us, they can. But we do this not because we're trying to grow a big list. We do this because we're genuinely convinced that unless we repent before the Lord, unless we confess our sins, unless we seek his face, we don't know where the direction of this nation is going. So that's why we are very serious about prayer before the Lord. We don't take this lightly. And that's what God calls all people, all nations, all tribes. At every period of history, the formula has been the same. Return to me, confess and repent, and then he forgives. And then we come back into right relationship with him. So whether people join us or not is immaterial. What is material is that every single person see the really the depths of despair that this world is in, and then turn toward the Lord personally, but then pray for the nation, pray for Israel, be obedient to God's word. What is happening right now is that we're seeing, again, two completely different ways of viewing the world. And that's why it's important that we look at this. The United States of America, I can tell you, as a dean of a school of government, America is not a democracy. America is a constitutional republic. We have a written constitution, and then the people get to vote for the people, for the elected officials who will implement and carry out the constitution. That's a constitutional republic. A democracy is each person votes on every topic, just like ancient Athens. We've never had that in the United States. So no matter what, we are a constitutional republic, and the Constitution even says that as citizens, we are guaranteed a republic. And so this is just one of many lies that people are being sold in this season. This isn't a popularity contest. We are not electing the person that we want to sit down and have a cup of coffee with. We're electing someone who is going to be good for the United States, good to keep the United States strong so that the world will be a safer place. And we want to have a place where the individual gets to have the maximum amount of freedom and decision-making and control over our own lives, where we can make the most money that we can make, where we can exercise freedom of faith and religion, and so that our children can be protected. That's what we want to make sure. And the person who is elected will have a lot to say about that. What we're seeing now is unrequited lawlessness, unbelievable lawlessness in the Biden administration with Vice President Kamala Harris, and really through this political process. This summer, we saw a political coup happen. And what does that mean? That's an illegal overturning of results. And what do I mean by that? Joe Biden earned about 14 to 15 million votes during the course of the presidential primary election. So he was the one who was voted on. And yet all of those delegates were essentially stolen by Kamala Harris. And so there never was a vote for Kamala Harris. She was just crowned through a Zoom call. She was crowned through a Zoom call as the nominee for president. And so we would have someone for the first time sitting in the Oval Office, if Kamala Harris would win, who didn't have any votes to even become the nominee. The whole process was lawless. It was an illegal overturning of the results of what the people wanted during the primary. But if you talk to most people, independents, Democrats, Republicans, we've had by some estimates close to 20 million illegal aliens come in the last nearly 4 years. Donald Trump's big issue that launched him onto the national stage was immigration, because he said he was going to build a wall and he was going to stop the illegal entry. And he was pushed back at every turn by the Democrats. They did not want a wall. They want illegal immigrants to come into the United States. Why? Because they want people dependent on government and government checks and government services, because the Democrats know that people who are dependent on government checks will most likely vote for them. But people who want safety, less criminality, they want to have higher wages, they don't want illegal immigration in the United States. So we had a very low rate of illegal immigration because Donald Trump was enforcing the law. He was keeping people that were coming to the United States to seek asylum. He was keeping them in Mexico until they could prove they had a legitimate asylum claim. He had a very ordered way of immigration. But now, literally every single day, someone is stabbed, someone is murdered, someone is raped from illegal aliens who are in the United States. I just read of another Venezuelan gang that kicked somebody in the teeth and stabbed them. Little girls who are being raped, 9-year-old girl that was raped. Why in the world would we sit still for 1 minute and allow any woman to be raped or anyone to be stabbed or their car to be jacked from them, from illegal alien gangs? When I read about Aurora, Colorado, when you had Venezuelan gangs that were so brazen, they were taking like AK-47s, coming into an apartment complex, they took over the apartment complex. This is privately owned. They took it over, kicked people out. They moved in. This is something that would happen in Venezuela, not in beautiful Aurora, Colorado. They did it not only to one building, but to a second building. And here's the kicker. The governor of Colorado, Jared Polis, I served with him in Congress. He didn't seem too fazed by it because they see that illegal aliens are going to be their future ticket for voters for them. So just think of that. This is the greatest voter registration scam in history. These issues are almost neck and neck. They almost tie for first place for what people care about. They're sick of illegal immigration because why should somebody be allowed to break the laws of our country and come into our country and then demand free health care, demand a free place to live, demand free food? When people are having tough times right now buying groceries, I know when I go to the grocery store, I take food out of my grocery cart. I put it back on the shelf because I think, I can't spend that much for a box of this or a can of that. I never spent that much before. I'm not the only one doing this. Women all over America, men all over America are having the same feeling. And plus, when you go into a downtown, especially a major metropolitan city, a lot of people just shy away from going in these major cities because they're dangerous. Even in broad daylight, they're dangerous. They're afraid to park their car. They don't know if their car will be there when they come back. This isn't the way life was. Even just 4 years ago, life wasn't like this. And so we've seen the quality of life in America absolutely drop. And people need to realize the United States government is broke. We owe money. We don't have reserves of money sitting there. So when all of these illegal aliens are coming into the United States, this is incredibly expensive. It's well over $200 billion a year that we're not spending on American citizens, that we're spending on illegal aliens. And how do we get repaid? With crime. How do we get repaid? With fraud. And we're paying for it. And then we have all the prosecutors who refuse to police crime and put illegal aliens in jail. They'll put a woman who's praying in front of an abortion clinic in jail, but they refuse to put a Venezuelan gang member in jail. And so that's why we have to stop having two-tiered justice in the United States. And when people break the law, they need to pay for their crime, go to jail. And the illegal aliens have no right to be in the United States. They need to be deported. And how crazy is it that in the state of California, California wants to give zero down payments on a house. They want to give loans to illegal aliens, and they want to give illegal aliens loans that have no interest, and they want to give them $150,000 on a down payment for a house. Why do they want to do that? Because they want to make it impossible to deport these illegal aliens. This is insanity. When you can't afford to buy a house or your kids can't afford to buy a house, why are we paying criminal gangs from Venezuela? Why are we paying $150,000 for a down payment for a house for them in the state of California? It's insane. It's why people are angry, and they should be angry, but instead of just getting angry, we need to pray and fast and seek the Lord. And we need to vote more than anything, especially Christians. We need to register. We need to vote. There is no excuse for that because we need to be responsible citizens of this country. If we spend 5 minutes griping, that's worse than spending 5 minutes going online and figuring out how to register, how to vote, how to get your church to vote, how to get your Bible study to vote, your neighbors to vote. That's what we've got to do. So we're talking about how difficult life is now, how difficult life is going to be if we don't change horses, which we need to do. We need to have a new administration. And again, we've never had a better compare and contrast. We had 4 years of prosperity and peace. We had a great life in the United States. Government shouldn't be buying houses for anybody, but certainly if they're going to be buying houses, it should be for American citizens who are born to American parents. It shouldn't be to illegal aliens who broke the law to come into this country, have no hope of ever being able to continue the maintenance on a home or to finance a home. I mean, it's insane.
Powerful and insightful words from the Honorable Michelle Bachmann to conclude our pre-election day special here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. Go to drjamesdobson.org/countdown-to-decision-2024 or just go to our homepage and click the button there to get all the voter information you need. Pray, and then go to the polls Tuesday, November 5th, and let your voice be heard, standing up for biblical values. For Dr. James Dobson and all of us here at the JDFI, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow for an Election Day special edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, the voice you trust for the family you love.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.